Welcome to the WBFO Press Pass. I'm Mark Scott, joined by Buffalo Spree editor Elizabeth Licata.
Hi, Mark.
How are you?
I'm very good.
Well, there are just a few weeks left in summer 2015. While many people enjoy traveling out of town for their vacation destinations, there's plenty to do here in Western New York for those who want to stay close to home. Now, for the nature lovers tuning in, Elizabeth, you checked out some of the more out-of-the-way places in nature that people might enjoy.
Yes, and there's actually even more out-of-the-way places than those. But yes, and when you say a few weeks, actually, we have great weather through September. And, of course, summer doesn't end until the third week of September anyway. So there's plenty of time to get out there. And without spending a lot of money or hardly any money at all, just your gas, you can have a beautiful walk in nature, someplace where you'll see hardly any people, see lots of great wildlife. I just went for a walk in Times Beach, and it was the first time that the nature preserve, and it was the first time I'd done it. It's beautiful there.
Yeah. Where did you visit specifically, from north to south, I think?
Yeah, I tried to be all over the place. So one of the places I wrote about is the Joseph Davis State Park, which is not as well known as the many wonderful state parks in Niagara County, such as Whirlpool and so on. But the Joseph Davis Park is nice because it's relatively undeveloped, so it's like a nature preserve, and it has a wetlands area that's being nurtured and kept up. So that's interesting. There's a pond when there's creatures in it and so on. It's great stuff for people who just want to be in nature, who don't need there to be a cafe or things like that.
And to the south, the Erie County Forest.
A little hard to find. So really, have your GPS ready and be looking for road signs, because it's a little hard to find. And in fact, it's a question as to what little village it's actually in. You are completely surrounded by trees. You feel like you're in the depths of a forest. You would never know that civilization was so close when you take walks there. That's a really nice trails.
Is it marked? Is it easy to get?
Yes, the trails are marked.
Okay.
Yes, they have there's like little arrows on the trees, and you can access a map before you go in. And then I also understand that this is really used a lot in winter as well. People like to cross-country ski through it. So this is really a great all-season park.
Then there's something I'd never heard of before, but it sounds neat, Royalton Ravine.
Oh, yes. Actually, one of our writers wrote about that one. It was not me, but that they have the longest wooden swing bridge in the state, and it looks amazing. It looks like something that you'd only see, like, I don't know, maybe The Man Who Would Be King or something like that in the movies. It looks spectacular. That would be a great walk, and there's waterfalls, and so that would really see some spectacular sights there.
Now, many of the local destinations are very familiar. Chautauqua.
Oh, sure.
Ellicottville, Niagara-on-the-Lake.
Well, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But in Buffalo, if you're looking to do something, and besides Canalside, which everybody's checking out, City Hall offers tours. And as many times as I've been in that building, I have never taken a tour, and I've never gone to the iconic observation deck.
I just took a tour last year for the first time, and it is amazing. All the symbolism, that every nook and cranny, every bit of architecture in and out of City Hall, the exterior, the interior, it all means something. It would really take about 4 hours to get everything. The tour that you take only gives you just like the tip of the iceberg. Mm-hmm. And of course the observatory is amazing up at the top.
Now, this particular place is not open for tours because it's a private home and business. But what's believed to be Buffalo's oldest building, the Coit House, is 200 years old.
Yes, I've been in it many times.
Have you?
Well, I was once president of the board of the Allentown Association. The Allentown Association had its headquarters there during the 90s, and then it was sold to one private owner in around 2003, I want to say, and then someone rented it for a while, and now the new owners are running a decorating business, or design business, I should say, out of the house. And the house looks really nice. Over the years, people have it's had a lot of problems in its day, and also, you know, it doesn't really have much of a basement because, you know, it was moved from Exchange Street.
Yeah.
And I remember when the Allentown Association was in there, the heating was always an issue. And as a nonprofit, we were not really able to do the restoration that the house really needs. And still does, the current owners still have a ways to go because you have a whole third floor as well as a second floor that lots of just the, some of the wide plank floors on the third floor have to be seen to be believed. You've never seen wooden floors like this.
Yeah. And tell us about the history. George Coit was a father of Buffalo?
Basically, he and some of his friends created the Buffalo that we know today. They were essential in the planning of the Erie Canal and many other things. They were the movers and shakers of early Buffalo that made Buffalo the Buffalo that we know.
And a great-great-grandchild is still here, and they've that person has reached out to the new owners. And it sounds as if the owners, because of their interest in design and architecture, they will be good stewards of this landmark.
Oh, yes. And I think they'll use the house as sort of a showcase for what they can do. And, in fact, one of the rooms is for – they did the main living room in the Junior League show house this year, and all that – decor is now been moved to the Coit House living room, so you can see it there. So it's obviously going to be a place of business and a showcase as well as a home.
On to another topic. Squeaky Wheel is celebrating its 30th anniversary this year. Now, in a conversation we had earlier this year, we talked about UB's Media Studies Department and its role in the production of experimental and independent films in the 1970s. Squeaky Wheel picked up where Media Study Buffalo left off following its demise in 1985. How has Squeaky Wheel been able to succeed during a time that has seen such dramatic change in film production?
Well, they really keep up with it. It used to be that you would go to Squeaky Wheel and you would rent camcorders and tripods and things like that, and you would use their editing suite. But now, of course, you can do all that editing, as you know, Mark, right on your own home computer using very sophisticated software. However, you still have to learn how to use that software. And that's where Squeaky Wheel steps in, because they have the expertise, and now they're even moving on to, I think they are doing things with virtual reality. So as the technology changes, they change, and they just keep up with it. And they also do some very important education with young people, giving them the technological tools that they're going to need to get along in contemporary society. The Tech Arts for Girls program is wonderful.
And it sounds like it's not just giving people equipment to use. There's a heart and soul there.
Fun. And there's fun. They show movies outdoors. They just showed, I think, the Fantastic Dr. Fox down at Canal Side. They curate a series of outdoor films at Canal Side. They show films and have art exhibitions at their space, which is now in the Market Arcade building. They've got a really nice space there. And they bring in music. They just, you know, they're sort of a nexus. They stay eternally relevant.
And they're celebrating their 30th anniversary with a
wonderful
special event at Larkinville, I believe?
Yes, 500 Seneca. It's called Peep Show. And the theme is Dirty 30, and there's going to be that. This event is much like, I would say, Hall Malls Artists and Models, or maybe a little akin to City of Night, where you go and there's just this dizzying array of installations and people doing things, and you're wandering around, and it's kind of fun and even sometimes a little bit scary, but always exciting.
Yeah.
And then they have food and drink and all the usual stuff, but it's much different than your average fundraiser. It's really more of an arts event, just as much as it is a fundraiser, and I would encourage anybody to check it out. It is August 29th.
Staying with the arts for a bit more, the Albright Knox Art Gallery has an exhibition of animation-based art. Now, I'm going to have to admit publicly here right now, my exposure to animation is limited to watching The Simpsons and maybe a full-length feature like The Lion King. But
I was afraid you're going to say Roadrunner and Coyote.
and that too, yeah. I mean, I haven't seen a Bugs Bunny in a while, but I obviously have seen Bugs Bunny in my time. But this is something much different, much more in-depth.
Nothing in this show, to me, really looked like anything we would think of as commercial animation or say, cartoons. Certainly, nothing looks in the remotely like The Lion King,
yeah,
or The Simpsons, because there's different types of animation. You're animating, like there's claymation, for example. There's a lot of claymation, and that's very sculptural. Doesn't look like cartoons at all. So you have to put all those ideas of what animation is out of your head. But the fact is, we're very familiar with animation. But what they're using the technological tools of animation to really make art that is full of ideas and is challenging and that makes you think. It's not just entertainment. And it's just an amazing show. It would take, as I say in the article, it would take two visits, because it's not like you can look at the painting and move on after a minute or two. These are time-based works, so they could take like 10, 20 minutes to watch, and there's about, I don't know, maybe as many as 30 or 50 of them. So that takes a bit. But they didn't. Done an amazing job. They've really pulled from everywhere throughout the world of artists who do animation-based works.
Now, if you go see this, do you need to be prepared? Should you do some reading, some education to be able to enjoy it?
I don't think so. Okay. I think a lot of it will look familiar. There's a lot of works that take from pop culture, that take from history, that take from politics, that will be the subject matter will be familiar. And there's also a great app that you can download to your iPad, and that will, it's like, it's a catalog, but it's a animated catalog. So of course it has little video clips, and that will, I would recommend downloading the app, but maybe afterwards. Sometimes I think it's better to just go clean and fresh and just go around and look at it. Then afterwards, look at the catalog, and it might answer some questions that you have.
One more thing. This evening, Buffalo Spree will unveil its September issue at a party at the Glen Park Tavern in Williamsville. Give us a sneak peek at what's coming up.
There's not even time to get. There's so much. We have our home, our September home. We have a section on beer, sort of an update on all the new breweries and all the new excitement that's going on. We have a small education section. We have some great essays by Bruce Adams and Alan Badenko. And so it has, for an issue that's only 176 pages, it has so much in it. And there's this, I can't even describe it all.
We'll be talking more about what's in there coming up in our next conversation a month from now.
Thanks, Mark.
Elizabeth Licata is editor of Buffalo Spree. Mark Scott, WBFO News.